Happy Tuesday, everybody. I would like to say it's Tuesday on the island. We're not quite on an island, but we're not far away from one anyway. This is going to be our first daytime show, so I'm sitting here hoping that I have some quiet animals, but they're sleeping, and hopefully nobody will come roaming through the backyard. Anyway, I hope not. It's going to be an interesting show today, and I hope you hang around. We've got Dr. Pamela Lurcher, who is a medium, an empath, energy healer, sensitive, and author of a very interesting book called Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. And we're really excited to have you, Pamela. We want to talk a little bit about your book. We're going to talk about your program on sensitive lessons. And we're also going to take calls later in the hour. So hang around, and you never know what's going to happen today. Pamela, we have not met, have we, except for a few seconds
No.
A little while ago. So one of the things I really love about doing these shows is I get to talk to people I know, and I get to talk to people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a lot of interesting things, and I'm going to ask you a very personal question first before we get started. But
okay.
What is your PhD in?
Metaphysical parapsychology.
And what exactly does that mean in layman's
terms? Paranormal.
It
falls in line with the work I do and who I am. So,
where does one get a degree in that? Just out of curiosity.
This one is the University of Sedona. And it's the only place I could find on planet Earth that was up my alley. So it would not have done me any good to go and get a paralegal degree, which, as a matter of fact, early on in my years, I was working on that. So it's really fascinating. I've been thinking about that recently as you booked me on your show, because so much of the work of a paralegal, you do a lot of research, and it is connected in so many ways. With genealogy, you do a lot of research. And so that's been on my mind, my paralegal research recently, and the genealogy research.
Yeah, a lot of genealogists do a lot of work for lawyers, actually, especially in heirship and things like that. And, you know, but in I guess the legal world, you're doing a lot more research in people who are living. And genealogy.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yes, because when you look for cases and precedent, there actually was a lot of death involved in the research. a lot of, seriously. So it actually became a little bit too overwhelming for me.
Uh-huh.
In that aspect, because going into the law library and, you know, having many different earthbound spirits, like, you know, wanting me to help solve their cases and such. At that time, I didn't understand what was happening to me, and so I would wound up with a lot of migraines. And that was back in the days when I would have panic attacks and migraines because I didn't understand what I was.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, one of my guests not too long ago, and she was a healer, actually, out of Santa Fe, Althea Gray, and it was very interesting because we were talking, and it turned out that right when I started doing genealogy, I started having panic attacks,
mm-hmm.
and we pretty much assumed, and I've begun to think about that a lot, that had to do a lot with the startup of doing genealogy, because in essence you really are digging up lost souls, aren't you?
Yes, you absolutely are.
And that leads us right into your book too, about the Guardian of Lost Souls. And tell me a little bit more about the book and what prompted you to write that.
Okay. The book, if you don't mind, let me read the back of the book.
That's great.
Okay. Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death is a true story based on events that happened to a mother, that would be me, and her two children, my son and daughter, Luke and Savannah. This story tells about the struggles of living with one foot in the physical world and another foot in the spiritual realms. Read the stories of the ups and downs of helping lost souls find their way to the other side. Within the pages of this book, the reader will find stories of seeming horror, humor, on strange events that happen to a person when one can feel, hear, and see in the spaces in between. The stories of the lost souls are documented within the pages and are true life stories of the people, how they died and how they lived, and most importantly, the reason why they became earthbound spirits. So that's it in a nutshell. Although there's so much more. What prompted me to write the book? I would like to guide the listeners to go to guardianoflostsouls.com and click on Diary of a Sensitive. And I put the first chapter of my book on my Diary of a Sensitive blog, and it's The Wind of Change, The Road Less Traveled. And it explains to the reader how this all opened for me. And that is, a friend of mine asked me to go to Casadega, Florida with her about 3 years ago. And I had never read anything about what I was. I stayed away from horror stuff. I'm always pretty much scared all the time. And so when she invited me to go, I'm like, no way, because the first thought in my mind was, you know, this woman is going to tell me I'm going to be dead in 3 years or something like that. It just, I didn't really like the idea. Well, anyway, I went, and that's when I met Piper, and meet Piper in the first chapter of the book. And she started, well, the funny part about it is, I didn't even know, I'll explain it this way. Before I went in for the reading, my grandpa, he's been deceased for quite a long time, he was talking to me, and he was telling me, now, you just need to keep your mouth quiet, listen to what she has to say, she has a bunch of important messages to deliver to you. And I was thinking to myself, well, if she's a fraud, I'll know it, because my grandpa's here with me, and if she doesn't notice my grandpa, then, you know, I'm just thinking she's going to be a fraud. Anyway, even at that point, before I'd even talked to Piper, I didn't have a realization of what I was, even though I had the communication with Spirit. And so she was spot on, and she delivered a lot of beautiful messages, blew my socks off. She's a spiritual medium. And that's when she delivered to me, she's like, you know, you're a spiritual medium. And I said, well, what is that? You know? And then she told me, you have the gift of automatic writing, and I found that to be quite curious, so I wrote that down. I had no idea what that was, and she said that is when basically Spirit communicates and you write it down. Well, that brought me back to when I was 5 years old. My mom worked in a hospital, and sometimes she would take me to work with her, and I would just sit out in the hall and wait for her shift to be done, and the nurses would give me a clipboard with lined paper just to keep me occupied. And I remember one time in particular where it was like cursive writing. I was just writing. I was very relaxed. And one of the nurses came up to me and said, hey, honey, what are you doing? And she picked it up, and she had this curious look on her face, and I kind of thought I had done something wrong. I wasn't sure, but it wasn't until that moment when I met Piper that I had that realization of she must have known that what I was doing at that age was actually channeling Spirit, though I didn't know it. I asked her, I said, well, why is it that, I asked Piper, why do I see colors around people, and why do I have visions of, you know, horrible things, and how come I can smell when, you know, these horrible energies around these people that do bad things? And, and she said, well, you're a spiritual medium. Well, anyway, I came home and I told my family about my experience, and Luke and Savannah, my two youngest children, I do have four children, they both raised their hands and said, me too. And I said to Savannah, I'm like, why didn't you ever tell me? And she said, well, why didn't you ever tell me? So we were all like that. But then something really interesting started happening as we started opening to our gifts. Within a very short period of time, a lot of earthbound people, ghosts, I prefer to call them earthbound or lost souls, because ghosts really isn't real. And I tell people the only difference between us and them is the skin. Anyway, they started coming in. Apologize for the helicopter. We live 6 miles off the coast here in Florida by a naval base. So, anyway, So a lot of lost souls started coming in, and we didn't really know what to do. We found a little bit of information in, through the course of time, and basically, you know, go to the white light, it's heaven, go home, you know, get out of here. And that's pretty much what we did. Savannah, she would draw a picture of them. But we did keep it documented. I was guided through spirit to write down the names of the people. They would deliver messages to me such as what their hobbies were, what they were wearing, some of the experiences they had, some major validation points that... So after all of this happened, Piper guided. She said, you really need to write your experiences so people can understand what happened and your journey through this as somebody who really didn't know what was going on, but yet following guidance and spirit and helping others. So I struggled with actually writing this book because I didn't really like the idea of coming out of the closet. Because, you know, you get a lot of funny looks from people and even close friends sometimes. Over the course of time, I've lost friends over since I've really come out with it, and some family members actually. A lot of people think that you're crazy, but I went ahead and I published this book, and it's interesting because at first it was 24 chapters, but then Spirit guided me, you know, break it down. That's just too much information. Actually, the book is a trilogy. There's two others. The second one's Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Life, and the third one is Coming Together. But the first one's Lessons in Death. I'll just go down the list of the chapters and give you a little bit about the chapters. See, I told you I had the gift gab.
You do.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the clock, and it's 1:11. I love it.
I know. Okay, so... Chapter 1, The Wind of Change, The Road Less Traveled. Like I said, y'all can grab that on guardianoflostsouls.com, Diary of a Sensitive. And that pretty much goes through the reading that I had with Piper and the opening to who I was and starting to accept who I was. Because, you know, I think it's very common for sensitive spiritual mediums to have this deep self-hatred because we think there's something wrong with us, that we're not normal. And so it's locked within the echoes of our mind that there's something wrong with us. And coming to the acceptance of who we are and embracing our gifts, that's the first step in healing. And then the doors do open. Chapter 2, First Light, Opening the Eyes. That pretty much explains what it's like when you finally come to that acceptance and you start coming into that, okay, this is real, this is what I see. Telling the stories of what it was like with Savannah. I call me, Luke, and Savannah the triangle because it's very interesting how this came about. My strongest gift is I'm an empath. I'm okay. Uber sensitive. And Savannah's strongest gift is the gift of sight. And she could see. She's learned how, through the course of time, we've all learned how to, at will, open and close our spiritual gifts. And the problem was is we were on all the time and we didn't know it. We didn't know how to control it.
Right.
So now she's learned how to actually shut her spiritual sight, whereas before, particularly the writings of this book, it was just really kind of horrible for her to live in that way. Anyway, I have a joke to where she could count the feathers on the angels. That's how clear her sight was. And with Luke, he has the gift of hear. And he can hear, he is very interesting in that he doesn't have and never has had fear of his spiritual gifts. It's just as natural as breathing for him. So he hears spirit as clearly as you and I speak here. It's just that clear communication. So I go through and I explain a little bit about that too. Like I said, I call it the triangle. And I think that was really the introduction, was spirit bringing forth the feel, hear, see, the sensitive lessons, but that'll be in a few minutes here. Chapter 3, The Spaces in Between and Within. And I teach people, let me go to that page there, 35. You know, it's funny, I've written this book, I've lived this book. Again, I still have to go to a reference point here. Chapter 3, The Spaces in Between and Within, it starts out with, do you ever wonder what are in the spaces in between? Living in this existence, as I have for so many years, I have grown to accept the things that I see in the spaces in between as just what is. What I mean by accept is this. They are always there, and there is nothing I can do about it. They remain there no matter how often I've wished that they just disappear. These are the things that I've seen that are there, but do not appear to be there. It has left me feeling helpless, scared, and at times completely crazy. Anyway, this book, it's not just another one of those books where somebody's saying, okay, I had an earthbound experience. This book is a teaching tool for empaths and sensitives, because I go through and I think that's why Piper really prompted. She said, as I was kind of going hem-ha, I don't know if I want to do this, I don't know if I want to write this, she would tell me, look, the messages that are kind of come through this book are helpful and will teach people how to really cope and live with these gifts, and which is a good transition into chapter 4, which I think is the powerhouse of the book, in my opinion. Do you feel what I feel? And this is a chapter for the empath, and it really goes through and explains what it's like to be an empath on so many different levels. And I think that's just, to know that somebody's experiencing, that is what I've heard from so many people who have read this book. I thought I was alone. And I should correct and say, this book is really a journaling, so I didn't pay too much mind to editing, really. I didn't pay too much mind to, because it was meant to be, to tell the story as it was, because what I did is I pulled out, I have lots of spiral notebooks of just as the events happened and the names of the people that I would write down, and then as I would receive the inspiration and the messages from spirits, I would just jot them down, sometimes on scrap pieces of paper. Often I've been known to write them down on napkins in the middle of, dinner and such, because the messages just came through that way. And so that's delivered through the book. Part two of the book is broken up into three parts. Part one of the book is, let me make sure I get it right here.
Okay.
Discovery of the soul, and that is finding who, really discovering who we are. And part two is the spark of the divine, which is the migration. that is when, for a week, pretty much, I would say maybe 5 days, 6 days, where it started out with the lost souls. They started trickling in when we first opened up to who we were. Now one here, two there, and then one day three, we were like, holy crap. But then one day, all of a sudden, there were 15, and then there were 54, and then there were 250. And so I told Luke, I said, first of all, what the hell? you need to go find out what this is. And he had a really close connection with Grandpa. Grandpa, I don't know, he is of the Great White Brotherhood, if anybody listening understands what that means, a high ascended being who these master souls do work between the heavens and the earth to really help the lost souls. And so he is of that, I don't know what you would call it, order or whatnot, but so it's organized chaos, and even down to where we were guided to move on the lake with the trees, because the lake, Grandpa said, would collect the negative energies to where we could actually function to do the job that we came here to do. And I'm like, okay, well, that's curious. Well, Grandpa delivered the message to Luke that when so many came in, we're like, what is this? He said, it is a very rare thing, though. Others like you have done it as well and will continue to do this, and it's called the migration. And that's where the angels, masters, and guides bring in. It's kind of like they're handpicked. It's like known, the ones that we can work with. And so they bring them to us, and we help them cross over. If you go to my Guardian of Lost Souls website, on the front page of that website, there is a YouTube video player, and you hit play. That's an EVP of one of, Piper guided us. She said, okay. Put a tape recorder on, because when this happened, I called her up, and I had only met with her once or twice, I think, before. I think twice, because once with me, and then I took the kids in to see her when it started getting really kind of crazy, and we're all three of us going, what's going on here? And she calmed us down. But then after we met with her, I think within a few days after we met with her with the kids, that's when a lot of the lost souls started coming in. So I gave her a call that day. I'm like, hello, there's like 54. I'm freaking out here. And she guided, you know, don't eat sugar, drink lots of water, put some white candles on, and put a tape recorder on and start to leave you messages. Well, like I said, we didn't know anything. And so we just kind of assumed that the angels, masters, and guides were going to leave us loving messages. And I didn't know that EVP. Seriously, I didn't know what that was. And then, so we were out on the back porch having some conversations, helping, you know, a couple just make their transition. And Savannah and I, and she's an empath as well to a degree, but I started to feel like I couldn't breathe, so I knew we had somebody that couldn't breathe. So plus we were hungry. We went in the house, and that was the time I set off the tape recorder, hit rewind, and hit play. And you can hear the woman on the tape recorder. This is just a cheap Walmart tape recorder here. You can hear her gasping for air. You can hear her say, I can't breathe. You can also, when I put the tape recorder back on, I said, you know, leave us nice, loving messages. And Savannah said, yeah, because that was scary. Because when we hear spirit, it doesn't sound like what it sounds on the tape. I mean, it's scary on the tape, but it doesn't sound like that. It's more like a softer version of when you and I are talking, when you can hear spirit in that way. So that really shocked us when we heard that tape. But when I said to Savannah, that's okay, we're going to cross her over, you can hear her gasp and say, I didn't know. And then right then she woke up out of her earthbound dream state. We brought her out back, and we crossed her over. So she's in one of the chapters. I think it's the chapter I'm Dead. Okay, so that was chapter 5. Now, moving on. Anyway, y'all can go onto that website there and listen to that EVP. Part 3 of the book is The Lost Souls.
Okay.
Chapter 6. This one is very important for sensitives, this book here, because I suffered with this forever, and I had no idea what this is. It's titled Earthbound Dreams, Lifetimes at Night. I'll just read a little bit here to give y'all an idea. Earthbound dreams happen to a person who is sensitive to the energies. Another word for sensitive in my vocabulary is empath. When one is an empath, they are extremely sensitive to the energies of the spaces in between. Earthbound dreams happen to empaths more often than they realize. If I go to sleep and earthbound spirit is in my space, oftentimes I will have a dream whereby the earthbound spirit is a visitor. Within many of these dreams I have experienced, the messages of how the lost soul died, the event is replayed in my dream, and often it is as if I am a third party watching the events unfold at the last minute of the person's physical life. I have also had earthbound dreams whereby I had total communication with the lost soul. Most often when the dream comes in this form, they are asking me why things are the way they are in their life. These dream experiences come with the territory of the gifts I possess. So I go throughout this chapter and I pretty much explain what it's like. I also give some of the stories of my earthbound dreams. And so it's very helpful, to those who experience this. There is one high vibrational, there's a couple of high vibrational messages I did leave in this book because Spirit guided me to keep it as simple as possible. And at the end of the migration chapter, part 2, I included the spark of the divine, and people can go in there and read that. And also at the back of chapter Earthbound Dreams, there's a high vibrational writing called Soul Stasis. So y'all can read that. Chapter 7 is actually an earthbound dream experience that I had. And this is so crazy because I just put it in place as I was guided. It's called My Lady Missing But Not Lost. The date this happened was 7/7/07, and it's chapter 7. Now I'm telling you, I did not do that on purpose. After I put the book together, I'm like, holy cow.
I wonder if that's my grandmother.
My lady missing but not lost. No, she hasn't been dead for very long. She was a young girl who was taken and murdered, and her child was taken from her. And she came to me. She wanted me, and it was. I go through in great detail in this chapter. This took me a long time to do. I think this is really what held the book up, because I had a hard time going back to this place because it was so real. I totally was right there when she was murdered in my Earthbound dream. I felt it. I heard it. And the thing about Earthbound dreams is you feel the emotion of everybody that's in this dream. So you're getting it, like in this case, the two who murdered her, there were two people, so there was like triple fold there. With that emotion. And so the one way that you know it's an Earthbound dream, there's a validation, is when you wake up and they're standing next to your bed. And this was the case with her. And it was so traumatic for me because at the end of the dream, when I saw the purpose of why they murdered her was to take her child, I'm like, no, go away, I can't do this. And besides, I'm not a detective or anything, and I don't do that sort of thing, seriously, really. But she wouldn't leave. And then part of my soul, because of free will, there was a part of me, I think, that kept her here. And that's another thing that people learn as they read this book. Anyway, y'all have to check that chapter out. There was a part of that chapter that I actually removed from the book that will be coming into the final book, which is Coming Together, which is a high vibrational writing. Lessons in Life, the second book, is pretty much the story of my life, in context of being a sensitive and stuff, but the Lessons in Depth is really about the lost souls. Chapter 8 is the I'm Dead chapter. And there's some funny stories in the I'm Dead chapters. I'll just read the first paragraph. Many of the lost souls who have crossed my path have no idea that they are dead. They simply are unaware of that fact, and it is my job and duty to reveal this to them. I've been met with many different types of reactions. The most common reaction is that of absolute shock and surprise. Once the initial shock wears off, I can start the communication process. These are the souls who hear from me. You're dead, not dead. We had one that came to us. He was literally dressed as Robin Hood, and then we really thought we were crazy. Now we're seeing Robin Hood. Are you kidding me? But everything makes sense. Turned out that he died on Halloween. He was dressed up as Robin Hood. He'd been drinking. Another real funny one was she fainted, this person. this is shocking to us too. When we said, just go home, go to heaven, go to the white light, you can go be with Jesus. She fainted. She's an Earthbound spirit, and she fainted. And we're like, wait a minute. She's not breathing. But then you go back and you realize, well, this is why they're in the Earthbound state anyway, because, I mean, it's the power of the mind. Then the I can't breathe is at the end of this one. Chapter 9. Is a very, I'm saying all these chapters are so important. It is super important. And I love the first line in this chapter. If you remember anything at all that is written in this book, please remember this. A jackass on any plane is still the same. So if somebody is a jerk when they're in the skin, they're going to be a jerk when they're not in the skin. And this book, this chapter, Mischievous Souls, really teaches the sensitive how to stand in the power. And I go through and explain some of these mischievous souls that came to me, such as the rebellious and honoring teenager. We Piper really counseled us, like, you need to set boundaries and limits. You need to, you know, Spirit's going to bring them in as often as you want. You set boundaries and limits and say, look, okay, I will do this work 1 hour a week on Thursday, but don't let any more in. And that's the power of this book, is teaching people how they can stand in their power. And that was a struggle. And I think this is the journey so many who experience this. We don't really understand that we have that spiritual power to say, no, I'm not doing this. And plus, as sensitives, we have that deep love for all. And so it's hard for us to say no as well, because then we're like, okay, for me, it was like, okay, just one more time. All right, just one more time. Okay. Then finally, I'm like, you know what? I need a break. Well, this rebellious and honoring teenager came about at that time when we finally said, look, we need a break. And, you know, we are in the physical here. This boy was banging on my bathroom door, and that's one thing I've made very clear to the angels, masters, and guides. I don't like things moving around. I really don't. So keep things quiet. Well, y'all will have to go in and read this chapter because it's hilarious how I handled him. He had been what some people consider haunting people for a while, and he thought he was going to do the same to me. Basically, I had the angels take him to have, I had them remove him from my home, and I think, I say this every time, it's either Kentucky or Tennessee, so after a few minutes I said, okay, you can bring him back. So he came back kind of shocked, like, wow, you could do that? I'm like, yes. I said, so give me any more lip and I'll send you to China. Anyway, he did make his transition. I would say, I'm going to read this little part here. Rule number one, when you encounter these earthbounds, don't give them your power by being scared and victimized. You have to treat these lost souls just like you would treat any other person by not allowing them to abuse you. You have the power. You always have the power within you to fight back, so to speak. The way to fight these lost souls is to go toe-to-toe with them and clear the fear that almost instantly engulfs your physical body the moment you are in their energies. And what I mean by this, by standing toe-to-toe, is that you must stand tall and embrace your self-confidence. And the key to self-confidence is knowing that you are the spark of the divine. So it is empowering and it's helpful. And that's also that little paragraph I read, it expresses the importance of reading chapter 4, Do You Feel What I Feel? Because then you understand. I teach people, I teach sensitives all the time. It's really it's not what is wrong with me, it's who is wrong with me. Because we go through this life picking up all these energies, and for me, if I have a friend that's 2,300 miles away and she has a toothache, I can feel the toothache. And that's why I say for the longest time I suffered with panic and migraines, because I was feeling all of these things and I had no idea that I was feeling who, not me, it was who was wrong with me. And I've been saying recently that I have to wonder if hypochondriacs actually, I think that they're sensitive and empaths because they have all these problems. They go to the doctor says, you know, there's nothing physically wrong with you. And so I'm thinking, because I thought, because I didn't go to the doctors because I didn't like going to the doctors, but I thought I was a hypochondriac because there's always something wrong with me. Okay, chapter 10, Herald Somewhere in Time. This is almost like a sacred chapter to me. He's a beautiful soul. He actually scared Savannah quite a bit because this was after we were just kind of really tired. This is a point where I'm like, you know, I just don't want to do this. And I told Savannah, you know, go get the floor cleaned or the dishes, watch something. While I was doing we were doing construction on the house, and so I was routing the tile out here in the back porch, and she came out and said, Mom, there's a guy in there bugging me. And I'm like, I don't care. Just ignore it. Do your work, you know, for crying out loud, you know. I was just like, I'm not the neighborhood Ghostbuster. So she went back inside, and then she came back just crying, and I'm like, okay, that's it. And I go stomping in the house, and I'm like, hey, or I don't know, maybe I asked her to bring him out to me, one of the two. But when I came to him, when we came together, I think she brought him out to me, I don't recall. Anyway, there were so many. I started telling him off, but then he started crying when he realized that he scared Savannah, and what had happened was he noticed that she saw him, and he's like, he was running up to her going, you see me, really getting into her face, and nobody likes that, and so it really freaked her out. He's like, I didn't mean to scare her, and so he starts crying, I start crying, Savannah's crying, and he said, well, what can I do? And I'm like, well, first of all, you need to make the transition and go home. He's like, well, yay, cool, now I know what I can do here. But he is one of those who, he comes back and helps us. So he is I'll read the last paragraph here. Only a former earthbound can truly comprehend the state of being, thus making them the perfect candidate to help with this process of finding and helping all of the lost souls back home. Many former lost souls are now guardians, and they work their mission as guardians of lost souls with beauty and grace and tremendous success. I have a prayer of gratitude in my heart at all times for these beautiful souls who have touched my life. Harold, I love you, dear friend. See you on the other side, and thanks for all you have done and do for the many lost souls and guardians. When Harold comes in, he was a beautiful black man, mm-hmm. And he actually had blue eyes that we could see with our spiritual sight. He had blue eyes.
Right.
And he loved the song Back in Black. And so what Postcards from Heaven are, we got hundreds and hundreds of these. These were messages from Spirit after they made their transition. They would bring us little gifts through the energy, such as one guy, his mom made the best sugar cookies, and so he brought us visions of sugar cookies, and we could smell the sugar cookies and taste the sugar cookies. Well, with Harold, he always brings in, I'll hear that song, dun, 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 like, oh, hey, Harold. So he sends it ahead of him, so I know he's coming. And that's chapter 11, Postcards from Heaven. And that's the last chapter of the book where I share some of the postcards from heaven from the lost souls. So that's the book, Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death.
Well, I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
And I don't know, my phone's ringing off the wall here, so hopefully it's not bothering anybody but me.
Oh, now, I couldn't even hear it.
Really? Okay. Well, that's good. When you get these people, I mean, you get them identified. Have you ever proven that they really were real people? I mean, have you ever done any research, to see if...
I haven't. I really haven't done any research. And what Piper said, because I went to her on that, I'm like, well, shouldn't I do any research? Shouldn't I make sure and validate this? Because there's sometimes when you go through this, you really think you're delusional. You're like, what the? Anyway, she's like, no, just let it be as it is, because it will do what it needs to do. And those who are guided to it, and those that need to hear about their loved ones, they'll be guided to the book. And so people will eventually be, hey, wait, that was my dad, that was my sister. So I put as much as I could as far as, it's those little things that only family members would know, such as that sugar cookie or that
right.
Back in Black song. And on the Diary of a Sensitive on my website, I'm going to start, I have tons more lost soul stories that mm-hmm. we're not including in this book because we really want to keep it as a simple read as that journal. So I'm going to start putting the stories of the lost souls on my Diary of a Sensitive, just little maybe paragraphs here and there, and then as people are guided, they could read the stories and see and connect. And that's just a big thing. I think that's a big fear that so many like me are like, I know this is happening to me, or is this happening to me? Is this a delusion, or is this real? Or, how do I make sense of this? How do I come to validate? And it just really does take time, and it takes trust, and it takes, for me, I try to on my radio show. I have a radio show on Friday nights, and I really try to guide people towards spiritual counseling, but they want to have that reading. And I take that reading as a sacred thing. So even though sometimes I'll have tons of spirit around me, I get kind of stubborn and hard-headed because some of the messages that are coming through, that's just for me. I feel like, this is between two people, and that's another reason why I delete the shows. I don't leave them in the archives because it is such a personal thing there. So much. So I have tons of people I've given readings to, though it is almost feels like in the shadows as well. But that's the way this work is done. It's not about broadcasting out. Although we do want to provide validation to the world. However, you see how I'm getting into somewhat of a tangled mess here.
Yes.
There's so many naysayers that no matter how much proof, I've come across people that no matter how much proof is right there before their very nose, and they're still not going to believe it.
Right.
Never. Yes. And so that's why Piper's like, don't worry about the validation. We'll just get tangled up in that. Just deliver the messages from Spirit, and everything will take care of itself.
So, you know, going back to the genealogist, I mean, before I get into that, I want to give out a number if anybody has any questions of Pamela. It's 888-815-9756. And again, 888-815-9756. You know, when as a genealogist, I mean, you know, when I do research, you know, I have evidently since day one, you know, have felt the spirit of the people that I'm working with in my research. They come alive to me. I mean, I feel, you know, I've always felt that I was getting more than just the fact that, you know, they were born on this date and this place and they died on this date and this place. And, you know, I mean, I really feel, and I guess I'm an empath, and I know I am an empath.
Yes,
been an empath since I was a child. And I've seen things and I hear things and, you know, I have thought I was crazy once upon a time too. But, you know, I don't believe that anymore. And I found that the genealogy has really brought me closer to spirit than anything I have ever done. Because that's really, I'm, you know, in some way, shape, or form, when I'm working with, you know, as you say, dead people, you know, they're messages. And I mean, I hear and feel things all the time.
You know, there is such a connection between genealogy and the spiritual work. It is intertwined in such depth. I grew up, my mom is a genealogist. She has always been, we were always at the graveyard. And I actually love that sacred ground. I've spent a lot of time in the genealogy library, and I'm here to tell you, you are right, because they are there. I've experienced this all of my life, being in that genealogy library and watching people. I'm looking at that microfiche and looking at the soul, you know, over the shoulder of the person, looking, you know, researching and having that communication that even some people aren't aware of. They are there. They are helping. They are unfolding, and it's just an interesting, very spiritual experience genealogy is.
I agree, and that's why the title of, you know, everything that I'm doing these days is called Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect, because I really feel very strongly that there is a very strong spiritual tie. And, you know, there are a lot of genealogists that I don't think will accept it. And there are some that wrap their arms around it. As far as I can see, you know, I came out of the straight genealogy world, so, you know, most of the people that I've known through my genealogy excursions over the last 27 years, I think, have found this to be a little bit, you know, out of element for most of them. But, you know, one of these days, something will come and they will, you know, get the picture, because, you know, they talk more and more about how everybody is becoming a little bit more spiritual and in tune. You know, we keep talking about, you know, the year, you know, 2012.
I really feel like it has to do with the fact that people are, it is about acceptance. And once you come into acceptance, then then you come into an awareness. So because of the pioneers of spiritualism and because of the John Edward, and because of Ghost Whisperer, because of some of these things that have become mainstream, it has opened the door for us, and it's open. So you have this total group awareness of, okay, maybe, which allows all the rest of us to say, okay, we can accept this. And so when you come into acceptance, then the door starts open all the way around. And we have a long way to go. However, I personally feel that too much to do about 2012 spirits guiding very strongly. Now is the time, right? Now is the time. And so I really try to guide my students and those who come to me to really focus on where you are right now. Because there's some people that are kind of freaked out over 2012, and I'm like, it just, think about 1999. And a lot of people were freaking out about that too, you know, the computers and 2000, and
right.
Absolutely, the vibrational currents of the earth are raising, but that's only because our awareness and the vibrational currents of our thoughts. So it goes hand in hand as well.
You see that too when you, you know, see the millions and millions and millions and millions of people, you know, doing genealogy research today. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when I started 27 years ago, you know, it was pockets of people. I mean, Now it's become mainstream. And why?
It's connecting with spirit, really. It is. My mother has so many experiences, spiritual experiences. One in which she was at the genealogy library with a friend of hers, and she heard, well, one of her children had been run, her friend's children had been run over by a car, and while they were at the genealogy library. And this person they were doing research in came in very clearly and told my mom, "Don't worry, everything is going to be okay." Well, once they got to the hospital and talked to the older son that accidentally ran over the little girl, he said it was like, I mean, the car was sitting on her. The car was sitting on this little girl's chest. There was even a tire mark.
Mm.
But you know what? That's all there was. She wasn't injured. Because he was there, he helped her. And then he also guided, when my mom's friend was freaking out, he guided my mom to say, look, I mean, she heard him very clearly. Look, everything's going to be okay. Tell her everything's going to be okay. So she's got tons and tons and tons of experiences through her genealogy work. That's why when I found you and you're like, do you believe this is connected? I'm like, oh yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Now, you know, getting back, you know, to the empath, you know, I know that that's been something that I've had to live with all my life, and you know, ever since I remember going, I'm Jewish. I was raised in the Reform Jewish congregation.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, I'd go to synagogue every Friday night, and they would, you know, and they'd say the prayer over the dead, you know, and they'd ask everybody who lost someone, you know, this past week or the anniversary of their death, if you'd please rise. And 5 years old, I'm hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I had such, you know, emotion for these people and the fact that they were grieving, you know, mm-hmm. to the point where I couldn't go anymore. Or if mm-hmm. I went, I would have to leave before that started. I mean, it was overwhelming
yes.
to me.
Yes.
And
that's energy transference, and everything is energy, and as the empath, we are ultra sensitive to the energies of others, and that is the purpose of the sensitive lessons here that I've created. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What?
That's
go ahead and
okay.
finish your thought.
I'm done.
Okay. So we're going to transfer into, you know, transition into the Sensitive Lessons, Feel, Hear, See. This is an online psychic spiritual development course that I've put online, and people are welcome to come in. There are three groups, the Gift of Feel, Hear, See. It's a progressive thing. You start with the Gift of Feel, then you work to Hear, and then to See. And the interesting thing is, as you work through the Gift of Feel, you start to naturally see and hear. And so many people... The most important part of this development course here is the fact it teaches you how to ground your energies. It teaches you how to keep your energies clear. It teaches you how to identify the energies of the spaces in between. I am telling you, there are so many spiritual mediums out there that they don't know the difference between angel masters, guides, and earthbound energy. So there are many people out there as spiritual mediums offering readings and spiritual counseling through earthbound spirits. So they think they have a spirit guide, and yes, indeed, they are communicating with spirit, but it's an earthbound spirit. And so that is one of the teachings of the sensitive lessons. People, if you want to give readings, and that's why I guide people, first of all, read Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. That's the first step in this course, because you need to learn how to identify the energies and the spaces in between. And there's that. There is a lot of healing. You learn about color healing. You learn about the vibrational currents of the angels, masters, and guides, and how to identify them. It's a phenomenal course brought forth by Spirit. It's what people could say channeled. I don't really like to use the word channel because I feel like I'm just having communication with Spirit and writing it down. You know, there's not a being that comes in and takes over my body or anything. You know?
Right.
It's just like speaking with you. And there's been quite a few students with some absolutely beautiful results. The course, I made it as affordable as possible. It's 120, or you can do break it down into segments. Do feel first, hear, and then see, and then 45. So I gave a little reward to those who pay all, you know, $15, little less $15 discount, if you will, if you pay the whole thing. So it is I just opened the doors on Friday, last Friday.
Okay.
And people are starting to come in. And it's a beautiful social network community. The lessons, we don't work as a group. This is so much I've tried to teach people, spiritual unfoldment, the path to awakening the great within. This is the lonely road. Yes, we can have one another to support, but only you can do this. And that's why it's an individualized course, person, you know, you go in and you take it at your own pace. There are 10 lessons for the gift of feel, 10 lessons for the gift of hear, and 10 lessons for the gift of see. And with each lesson, I am putting a video really expressing the essence of the lesson and adding in little bits and pieces here of what I think might need to be said on video. Then also on Saturday mornings from 11 to 12, we have a community chat whereby I'll be there to answer questions and also have decided to do... For those who won't be able to make it to the chat, I scheduled a radio show for that same time, so I'm pretty much going to be reading off the chat, communicating, so you'll be able to hear the chat on the radio show as well if you missed that. But it's just now getting off the ground with people coming in. The buzz is starting. There's a lot of excitement surrounding it, and I'm very much looking forward to this. There's a book that I have, it's called Who's Wrong With Me, An Empath's Guide, that hopefully I'll have time to get to sometime this year.
Yeah.
It really goes with the sensitive lessons. And there's so much in the Guardian of Lost Souls lessons in depth about the empath, but the Who's Wrong With Me, The Empath's Guide is a phenomenal book that I hope to have out by Christmas, so. That will help.
I look mm-hmm. forward to that because, you know, I think a lot of people, in fact, more people have the gifts that they're not, they just aren't willing to accept it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know I hear my mother all the time. I mean, she yells mm-hmm. at me. I mean, I can hear her. I mean, I can
hear her. Is she the one that has the cloggy throat? I'm connected to somebody's energy that had, the cloggy throat, you know, is that her?
Yeah.
Okay, because she's been here the whole time.
I know.
And if you listen to my radio show, you don't hear this a lot, but as an empath, like I say, I'm super sensitive in that she's constantly, that's the bridge of communication of the empath. That's my first bridge of communication, and that is my gift of feel. So.
And I hear her. I mean,
yeah.
It is, really one of those, ever since she passed away, which is now 16 years, it's a daily event, and I have to admit, as you mentioned, she makes me laugh. I mean, she does the darnest things that happen, and I mean, you know, things move around the
yes. And, you know, it does happen. Yes. But you know what? I prefer to speak to and really trying to teach people say. You know, they're transitioned because words carry the vibrational current of what everybody has felt through the energy whenever they've spoken the word, such as, so when people come to me, my dad died, I really educate them to say, you know, your father has transitioned. He basically went through one door into the other, from one room to the next, and through a door. And that is, he is real. And dead is it does have, it carries that vibrational current and that energy signature of, I'm separated. I can't be with them. I'm sad and missing and, you know, that, so this really wasn't for you, Sue, that I was just kind of like thinking that somebody, feeling that somebody listening here needed to hear that. Really understand that they are real and more real than we are, actually. because they have the power to do so much more. We're kind of stuck in this physical body right at the moment with a lot of limitations here.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, and too, I mean, I have a thing, and I know a lot of other people have voiced this. And a lot of people don't know exactly how to voice it. But if I go to a party, you know, mm-hmm. I can walk in a room and I can gravitate totally away from someone.
Mm-hmm.
I can gravitate totally to someone. And yeah. I get really, you know, amazed sometimes at how I have, you know, I can feel that energy. And I mean, there are times yeah. when I have to literally say, I gotta go.
Yes.
And a lot of, and I know I'm not alone. I just think that people don't accept it for what it is, and it's the energy field. I mean, we talk about it.
It is absolutely the energies. I mean, it is seriously the energies, and that's the first two lessons in the sensitive lessons teaches you how to really disinfect the energies through your spiritual power.
Right.
And when people start, I have a lot of compare and contrast exercises within the lessons, and they are amazed at their spiritual power and really being able to clear the energies around them. So I agree with you. I believe that everybody possesses a gift to feel, hear, see. It's all about different levels. We all have our specialties. We all have our little gifts, our little our soul's evolution, if you will, of our tweaks that we've created through eons of time. But it's not exclusive to the Sylvia Browns. It's not exclusive to the Dame Van Prague. It is all of us. We are all spiritual beings having a human experience, and it's about raising our awareness to, and this is what one of the reasons why it was important to get this book out, Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. People don't become earthbound, generally speaking, after they die. They're earthbound before they die. They're connected to their cars, their children, their family, their physical existence.
Mm-hmm.
They forget about the fact that they're a spiritual being, they're a soul. And yes, there are those earthbound spirits who died suddenly who had no idea, a shocking thing. But then there is purpose in all things. And so then I would tangle the mind a little bit if I really went into this, but that would be in lesson, in coming together where that will come about, where people come to the understanding that there is purpose in all things, and even in the earthbound experience. So, yes.
You know, and the earthbound, I mean, I wonder what the percentage is of, you know, people who pass on. And, you know, it's interesting because we call it passing on. We don't call it death. I mean, people say they passed away. They don't, you know, uh-huh. you don't really say they died. I mean, you do, but because they're passing on. They're passing away to somewhere else. And it's, you know, and depending upon your religious beliefs, too, I mean, there are actually some, you know, beliefs that, you know, there is a life everlasting, and
yeah.
it make, you know, it with that concept, I mean, this whole thing makes perfect sense.
Yes.
I mean, to me, I mean, you know, if you,
yes.
you know, when you say a prayer about passing on to life everlasting, you know, have to imagine that there's something energy-wise going on. You know, other than that, it's you know, I don't know how you would really explain it. And, you know, one of my favorites, you know, Colette Baron Reed always says that, you know, paranormal to her is normal. Metaphysical
yeah.
is physical. I mean, it's just the opposite. You know, and I guess it, you know, life, our world would be a much nicer place, you know, if everybody was you know, on this wavelength, because it's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
It's when you get into all the real life issues and the ego and how people treat other people and, you know, and genealogy, and we talked about this, and, you know, it's interesting, I think, unless they stop me, there's nobody following us, so we can kind of go on until we want to, but I know we need to stop soon. But what I was getting at is that, and I did, I lost exactly where I was going.
Well, I guess that was our answer, that we're complete for the show.
Maybe that was the answer. Maybe we're just going to have to come back and figure out where it was I was getting ready to go. But it had to do with the ego. You know, we spend too much time there, and, you know, the more and more that I see, and I am with people who spend a little less time there, it's definitely a much prettier, special place to be.
Well, I have a theory.
A lot better.
Yes, but the ego is the necessary quote-unquote evil, because the ego provides to us the lessons. It provides to us the contrasting experiences. It provides to us that Homer Simpson, go! You know, the trick is to step outside of it and understand how to identify it.
Right.
It's necessary. It's a part of, I think too many people for the last couple of years have really been poo-pooing the ego, but it's most important if you look at A Course in Miracles really teaching you to identify it, but then understanding that this is part of the lessons, that this is the reason why we're here. Otherwise, why would we come here? We come here for the expansion, the growth. This is the only place it's going to happen. Now, even the highly ascended masters who have walked this earth, they experience the ego trap. They experience that contrast of emotions, and then, of course, they identified it, and then they experienced the growth from it as well. So,
and we've also done their genealogies. It's called the Bible.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Moses comes to mind. Yeah, Moses didn't put up with anybody's crap. Now, come on. Yeah, seriously.
No, he didn't. And, you know, he was, you know, look at the spirituality of the Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty much, you know, where it all started, and that's, I mean, there is nothing ego about those Ten Commandments. It's all spiritual. And it's pretty interesting. Pamela, enjoyed it. Great
me
hour.
Too.
Great hour. And we'll be back next week. Very interesting show. We have Jude Kirvan, who is one of the co-authors of the book Cosmos, joining us from England next week. Probably one of the reasons I changed the time to daytime, so that she wasn't getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, poor thing. In any event, you've been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. I'm Susan King. Till next Tuesday, we'll see you then.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes, and when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr.